Good morning again. Tomorrow is a very important day, or at least in my belief, tomorrow is Veterans Day. I want to take a minute right now to recognize the veterans that are here with us today. And also, I know we have at least one, Luke, Matthias. Is there any others that is currently serving right now? What's his name? Tony? Can I have the veterans stand up, please? I hope our country never forgets our veterans and holds them in the honor that they deserve. It takes a very special person to put their life on hold to serve the rest of us. And I truly mean that. There's people's sons and daughters in harm's way today. They're in places that we don't want to be. And we don't ever want to forget that. Thank you, men. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it, and I know our country does also. Okay, I have a question for you this morning for you trivia buffs. Who was the first missionary Jesus ever sent out? Think about it. Got an idea? Well, we know it should be someone that's well-trained, that has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, to be a devoted follower, should be a close disciple, and should have a good knowledge of scriptures and of sacrifice. Is anyone coming to mind? Who? Philip? No? I'll give you some hints. Don't go to the Great Commission, you won't find him there. Don't look at the name of the disciples. You won't find him there because this spokesman wasn't on that list. Paul of Tarsus? No. We wouldn't look in the epistles. This man was serving long before Paul ever wrote his first letter. Nothing? Anything? I think, you know? Would you believe me if I said that Jesus found his first missionary in a cemetery and he was a lunatic? Would you believe me? Shannon does. Shannon knows who I'm talking about. The man Jesus sent out was a madman turned missionary. Let's get our Bibles or look up here and let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Verse 1. You still look like you don't believe me. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now this is the man that your mothers told you to avoid, to stay away from. This is the man the police were always looking for, always in trouble, always sneaking around the alleys at night, stalking the neighborhoods. This is a man that was always in trouble. That would be in our times. And this was the first missionary of the church. Palestine didn't know what to do with him. They restrained him, but he broke his chains. He ripped off his clothes. He lived in burial caves. He's cut himself with rocks. He was like a rabid dog on the loose. He was a menace to society. They were afraid of this man. And he was absolutely no good to anyone. No one had any use for him except Jesus Christ. Now just think about this encounter that Jesus had with this man. What it would have been like. The boat pulls up on the shore. Jesus steps out. And there they are by a cemetery and a herd of hogs. Now both of these are unclean to a Jew. Spiritually, they shouldn't be around them. But there was Jesus. And I believe Jesus knew exactly where he was going and who he was going to meet when that boat left, before he ever set foot on shore. And as Jesus steps out of the boat, here comes a crazy man running out of the caves. Wild hair, bloody, scratched up. A demon all wrapped up in a man's body. Now the townspeople tried to contain him. They tried to restrain him physically. But see, his problem wasn't physical. It was spiritual. It was inside. Just like today, we try to fight spiritual problems with physical remedies. We can write laws and regulations to try to treat the outer man, to restrain him, to hold him. And all that does is affect the behavior. We would take that man today and we would put him on drugs, send him to a psychiatrist, maybe put him in a straitjacket and a padded cell. But we're accomplishing no good because the problem wasn't with the physical man. The problem was with the spiritual, the problem what goes on inside. Well, this man had demons, but is that any different from what we face today in our world? The things that happen to us, the temptations that we have, the things that draw us away from God. See, no code of moral conduct made a difference in this man's life. And I can stand up here and preach about morals, about code of conduct, and it won't do any good if no one's willing to make the change inside. What I'm saying is that laws won't change our heart. Let's look back at Mark in verse 6 through 13. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, this is Jesus now, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. I like these verses because it gives us a glimpse, a small look at the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. For just a few minutes, the invisible conflict became visible to the disciples and to us here today. We saw Jesus in action. We saw Jesus on the battlefield. In verse 7, the demons asked Jesus what he wants with them. Well, Jesus wanted the man back. Just like everyone here today, Jesus wants the man back. In this city around us, Jesus wants them back. Jesus isn't willing to give up one soul. He wants us all. Jesus' mere appearance humbled the demons. I want you to notice here, the demons didn't offer any challenge. They didn't threaten Jesus. They cowered down. Demons dominated the man, but they cowered before Jesus. They held an entire region in fear but they begged for mercy from Jesus. Think about our towns and our cities today. They're held in captivity by fear. Fear of gangs. Fear of, in some areas, the police. Fear of each other. Fear of the unknown. And there's Jesus ready to release us from all that. Jesus has the power. The demons here knew it. They cowered down. They didn't even offer to put up a fight. They knew it was a losing battle. And that's something we need to realize here today. That it's a losing battle for this world. That Jesus will come out on top. The difference is between us and these demons is that we don't know it yet. And the demons did. When God demands, the demons only have one recourse, and that is to plead for mercy. These demons felt safer in a herd of pigs than they did in the presence of Jesus Christ. Something else to notice here, we hear nothing from the disciples during this time. They're silent. As I read this, I imagine in my mind's eye that the disciples just stand there, maybe with their mouths hanging open, their eyes big and wide, watching this battle. I know I would. But you know what? The disciples did exactly the right thing. This battle wasn't theirs. They could have jumped in there and tried to restrain this crazy man, this madman running down the hill, but you know what? If he could break chains, if he could bust shackles, they'd have gotten hurt. The battle wasn't theirs. The battle was right where it was supposed to be, in the hands of Jesus Christ. A battle in the spiritual, not the physical. Examine your lives today. Look at the things going on around you, each as individuals. Are you trying to fight a spiritual battle in a physical world? If you are, you're going to lose. You need Jesus Christ to fight your battle for you. Let's recap here a minute. Jesus and his disciples landed in a boat. The disciples watched as Jesus went into action. God delivered a lunatic. Pigs are embodied by demons. And a disciple is made in a cemetery. Sound about right? Does the story sound outlandish? A crazy story? Well, as the commercials say, just wait, there's more. Mark 5:14-17. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. There sat this man that terrorized this town and this area, that ran around naked, cut up, scratched up, and there he sat, clothed, sitting with Jesus. Behaving himself, acting like a real person. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Now there's the outlandish part of this story. They saw Jesus Christ in action. They saw a man change that dramatically. And they tell Jesus to leave. What's the sense in that? What in the world were they afraid of? Think about it for a minute. What would cause these people to choose pigs over the presence of Jesus Christ? Satan? I have an answer. I think it was fear. Fear of change. You see, what Jesus represented to them was a change of their lifestyle. That was 2,000 pigs that ran into the sea and were killed. That was their livelihood. Of course, they didn't want to see that happen. But they saw change in that man. And they were afraid of the change that would have to come to them. The people were more willing to live in fear of the demons than acknowledge the power of Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus, they knew that would create a change in their lifestyle. Let's face it, change is hard work. Change is hard work for us. And it's easier to follow the same old path than it is to move out in uncharted territory. Many of us today are willing to live our lives in the sin that we create, in the separation from God that we create, then move out into that uncharted territory and allow Jesus Christ to make a change in our hearts. Because we're afraid what our life is going to become. We don't know what it's going to be like to follow Jesus Christ. We'd rather live with the pigs, take care of our pigs, and go on the way that we've lived our lives. I'm not calling anybody a pig. I'm just saying, we're willing to live like we are when Jesus Christ has so much more to offer. The people dismissed Jesus Christ and he stepped back onto the boat. You know, Jesus isn't going to force himself on anyone. You have to choose to accept him. You have to choose to have him stay. Let's go back to the scriptures again. Verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Well, there's a natural reaction, isn't it? What Jesus just did in his life, man, I'd want to follow Jesus. Those great changes, freed him from the demons, made him whole again. Yeah, I'd want to be with Jesus. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Seems kind of hard that Jesus wouldn't let him go with him. But you know what? Jesus had greater things for this man. He had more in store for him than following him that day. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And there it is. The commissioning of the first missionary. 1 minute insane, a madman, the next, a man in Christ. No training, no teaching, no stack of books to read first, no interviews, but there he was. Freed by Christ and sent out by Christ to proclaim the word. All this man had to know is that Jesus did great things. Jesus had compassion on him, and that was enough. He went to Decapolis, that literally means city of 10 towns, and told about the great things that the Lord had done. You know, it's great for this guy, because Jesus did such great things in his life. There was such a change in that man's life that he was willing to go. But you know, that's no greater than the things that Jesus Christ does in each one of our lives. Just as great a miracle is performed in every life here that's represented. Every family. This man wasn't silent. He went out and spread the word. He was obedient when Jesus sent him out. He told about the great change, about the great changes. You know, it says that all marveled. You know, I'd like to read in here, it said all marveled and many were saved and added to the army of Jesus Christ, but it doesn't say that. It says all marveled. Well, I'll take that too. Because he was obedient. He went and told about Jesus Christ. Because that means to me that I don't need to know if more were saved. All I need to know is people were given an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. Jesus saved a man from the demons and he went out. I believe the church is growing increasingly silent about the changes that Jesus Christ offers to everyone that comes to Him. What has happened? Why are we so quiet about the changes that Jesus made? Perhaps too many people come to the church just for comfort and not for change. Change hurts. Maybe people come to the church for acceptance and not change. Many people come to the church and meet Jesus Christ. Many come and have a new lifestyle, but they don't have a new heart. We're not new creatures in Christ. We change our lifestyle. We have a different outward appearance, but we've never had that inward conversion. We've never had that experience, that life-changing experience in our spirit that allows us to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ and the changes that He's made in our lives. We're silent about the changes because we haven't experienced it. Many people come and sit, but they don't accept. And I thought about another reason. Maybe we take our blessings for granted and we don't run out and share. You know, I think the stars only came out once a year instead of every night. On that night that the stars come out, everyone would be outside to see it. It's the same way with the blessings from God. God blesses us every day. Maybe we just don't realize it. Maybe we become jaded. We expect it. Or we don't acknowledge that it came from God and His greatness. Think about your own lives. Have you made the inward change? Have you truly embraced the changes that Jesus Christ made in your heart? Or have you truly accepted Him in your heart? Your lives have gone on as they always were. Well, now you know the name of Jesus Christ and you change a little bit on the outside. It's time to change on the inside. It's time to accept the Spirit of God and allow Him to fight your battles for you. You're going to lose these battles in this world because Satan is too strong. The demons that were in that man were strong. The people couldn't overcome him. They chained him up and he broke free. It's the same thing that binds you in this life here today. You can't get free. It takes the spiritual. I believe Jesus Christ brought you to this place today to be changed. Jesus will give you a new life. Free from oppression, fear, loneliness, insecurity. He'll also free you from your fear of change. All Satan offers is loneliness, fear, the very things that you need Jesus to escape. What Jesus sets free, they are free indeed. So how are you going to respond today? Are you appalled by the thought of change? Are you comfortable where you're at? Are you afraid to come to Him and let Him change you? Are you willing to give Him everything and not take it back as soon as the change starts? As sure as I'm standing here today, I can tell you that there is freedom. There's freedom from fear. There's freedom for those things that are holding you down. There's freedom from those things that separate you from Christ. Or you can make another choice. You can sit and simply marvel at the work of Jesus Christ and all the time remain unchanged. Let's all stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, You offer us so more, so much more than this world can offer. Father, the demons cower before You, and this world should cower before You. And Father, I just pray for all those here that our hearts would be open. I pray that we do not let fear of change separate You from us from You and the changes You can make in our lives. Father, I just pray that You'll pour out Your blessings upon this group here today, and that, Father, You will help us to understand how Jesus freed this man and how we could be truly freed. It's in Jesus' name that I come and I pray. Amen.